Good morning. So glad you came to worship with us today. Today is a little bit different day in the life of our church, and so I know everybody wants to know how Pastor Roy's doing, so I'm going to tell you, as we speak, he's checking out of the hospital going home. So thank you for praying. Thank you for praying, and thank you for continuing to pray for him. He's got some recovery to do. So give him a little bit of a break. He likes to talk, I know. You know that. So, but don't call him too often. Give him a little break so he can rest up some. I thank you for praying for him, responding to our prayer request. We're looking forward to having him back. In his absence today, we have a young man by the name of Nick Decker, and he's over here, has his wife with him, and a baby this today, too. We're glad to have him here. Nick's on the staff at Lebanon Baptist Church, but he and I have a deeper connection that he did not know about. His dad is pastor at Triad Baptist Church in Kernersville, and I've known his dad longer than I've known most of you. Rob's a great guy. He's been a tremendous influence in the life of Kernersville and that church, and God's used him to grow that church. So Nick's going to be sharing the message with us today. You be praying for him as he comes later to speak for us. And also today, Doug Kreider's here to do special music for us. And I love hearing Doug sing. Brad and I were just talking. Doug and his dad are two people that have the most powerful voices of anybody I've ever known in singing. And I always love having Doug here. Loved working with his dad. So you pray for Doug as he prepares to sing a couple of times in our service today. We've got a lot going on. We'll talk about that at the end of the service today. Let me lead you in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. Lord, we love you. We know that you love us and you care about us and you have made provision for our every need. We thank you for blessing our pastor and for the treatment he has gotten in the hospital. We thank you for what you're going to do for him as he gets out. Lord, help us to minister to his needs as well. Thank you for the doctors and nurses and all the treatment that he got. Lord, today we come to just worship you. Help us to put everything aside that would hinder our worship. Focus our attention on you. Bless Nick as he comes to speak to us today. Bless Doug as he sings, those who play the instruments. Let everything we do bring honor and glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, everybody.
Little
change in the bullets here. You'll see the ladies' ensemble scheduled between. But last night, a lot of them took the Carolina loss pretty hard, and they've asked me if they couldn't sing today. So we'll have it hear from them soon. So we'll be skipping right past that. So if you'll stand and join me singing the First Noel, hymn number 85.
Certain poor shepherds in fields as they
please be seated as we turn to hymn number 93, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and the bells they're ringing. Like a choir they're singing, and in my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells keep ringing, like a choir they're singing, and in my heart I hear them, peace on earth, Amen. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, for peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chant, a chime sublime. For peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells keep ringing. Like a choir they're singing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you hear the bells they're ringing? Like the angels singing. Open up your hearts and listen. Peace on earth, goodwill. Man. Oh, peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth, goodwill.
Central Baptist this morning. I appreciate your pastor and his friendship, and good to hear that he's out of the hospital and doing well. He keeps you on your toes, doesn't he? I heard that as long as I let you out by 11:30, I'll do a little bit better than him. So we'll see. We'll see if I can outdo Roy today. Okay, we're gonna spend some time in God's Word this morning. Greetings from Lebanon Baptist. I serve on the northeast side of Greensboro there, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that, and just the friendship we have just across town and the ability to do that. Michael Baird, our AMS, called me on Friday afternoon and said, would you go preach? I've never been at Central. I've passed the church. It's a beautiful worship center and facility, and just thankful for God's presence in Oak Ridge to reach the individuals here who don't know Christ in this area. So thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61 this morning. My wife's here with me, and my daughter as well. She's 14 months, so we've learned to leave her in the nursery. But if you don't like me, if you meet her, you'll like her. So I take her around to make sure that people like me, because she'll keep you on your toes as well, and she's a bundle of joy. Her name is Charis. That's the Greek word for grace, and we look at her as just a picture of God's grace in our life, and so that's where the name comes from, so we're thankful for that. And new parents, so any advice you have, we'll take it, because we're just learning as we go. I want to ask you a question today. Have you ever felt like giving up? I'm sure you have. At points in our life, no matter where we are, there are moments when we feel like giving up. If you've never been there before, I promise you, you will find your place at some point in your life feeling like giving up. Maybe you've come out of a place in your life where you have just reached that point. And maybe you find yourself today like throwing in the towel. If you're like me, you've been there. And maybe you're dealing with that. Maybe you've stumbled in this room today. You've walked in this room and you're dealing with something where you feel like it's time to say no more. If that's you today, I want to encourage your heart. If you know somebody like that, I want to give you some encouragement today to offer them no matter where you're at in life. Sometimes the holidays are the hardest time in your life. Some of you have gone through difficult things, and you are facing a season that is difficult. And so I want to offer you some encouragement today from God's Word, no matter where you're at. November 25th, 1980, one of the most famous boxing matches took place between Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Does anybody remember that boxing match? Okay, some of us, good. It was the second match between these two individuals. Roberto Duran had won the first one, but all eyes were on Sugar Ray Leonard to see what he would do. They thought that he was quicker, faster, and much more apt to take down Roberto Duran the second time around. And so as the boxing match began, Sugar Ray Leonard got a few extra punches in on Roberto Duran to the point that by round six, Sugar Ray Leonard was actually taunting. You can go on YouTube today if you've never seen that boxing match. I did it this past week. Sugar Ray Leonard is actually taunting Roberto Duran. By round seven, Roberto Duran turned his back on Sugar Ray Leonard, looked at the official, shook his finger, and said, "No más," meaning no more in Spanish. He had come to the end, to the point where he had just given up. And today, friends, if you're anything like Roberto Duran, you've reached a point where you feel like saying no mas. David, in Psalm 61, felt the same way. But what David does is he offers for us several ways that you and I can face difficult situations. He basically, in a sense, tells us what to do when we're done. What are you to do when you're done in life today? On the Christian walk, what should you do when you're done? David tells us in Psalm 61 exactly what to do when we're done. And so today I want to offer you three encouraging things you can do in your life, three directions that you can look when you feel like you're done, three ways that you can focus your attention on when you feel like giving up. So if you have your place in Psalm 61, if you'll stand with me if you're able, I want to honor the reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to read Psalm 61, the entire chapter this morning. I want to start in verse 1 today and focus your attention here as we look at God's Word. "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him." Verse 8. "So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day." Thank you. You may be seated this morning. David offers for us three directions that we are to look when we feel like giving up. And today I want to give those directions to you and challenge your hearts this morning to follow God in those ways. Let's pray together as we begin today's message. Father, you're good to us. We're so thankful for the opportunity to come to your word this morning, and we are humbled by the fact that we sit under the guidance and the power of your living word today. We know that it speaks, and so God, we pray as the word of God is spoken today that hearts will be challenged and redirected to follow your ways and your will. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first direction that you are to look today if you feel like giving up is you are to look up in prayer. Look up in prayer. You may say, "Pastor Nick, that is so simple." Yet many of us today don't actually pray like we should. You see, if we really want to see God move in our life today, if we really want to see God move in our problems today, you know where it's going to begin? It's going to begin on our knees in prayer. See, we don't really pray today. Many of us don't pray because we believe it doesn't actually work. I've been there before, where you say, "I want to do everything else but pray." And you try everything you can. You try everything you know except for prayer. But notice what David does in verse number 1 of Psalm 61. What does he do? He cries out to God. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer." Notice David's direction was to go to God first. To cry out to God there has the idea of a screeching, loud proclamation, a cry to God. David's not running through his prayer list here. He's trying to find God in the midst of his pain. And so what does he do? He cries out to God. And notice, he cries out to God from a certain point. Look at verse number 2 there. He says, "From the ends of the earth I call to you." David feels distant. He feels far from God. But he knows that in the midst of feeling far from God, David can still be heard. Have you ever thought about that? You can't go too far from God that he can't hear you. Isn't that good to think about that? No matter where you go, no matter where you are, no matter what you're dealing with in your life today, God can still hear you. God can still find you. God can still follow you. And so David cries out to God in the midst of his suffering when he feels distant. Not only, though, does he feel distant from God, notice the end of verse 2, he says, "When my heart is faint." I love what the KJV says. "When my heart is overwhelmed." Have you ever been there before? Have you ever felt overwhelmed in your life to the point like giving up? No energy, no desire to go on. David says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, God, I'm going to go to you." He says, "Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David is like a sailor in the midst of a storm. And he knows that nowhere else he goes, he's going to find peace and protection and help. So what does he do? He finds the rock. Who is the rock? Jesus Christ. He goes to Jesus Christ in the midst of everything. And yet many of us in our life today, we look at this and we try to find everything else but God. I've been there. I've tried to find protection. I've tried to find peace and something the world offers. And yet in the midst of all of that, there is no peace. There is no protection except in the rock. Except in Jesus Christ can we find peace. Can we find a home? I like what Charles Spurgeon said, the famous English pastor, Baptist British pastor there in the 1800s. He said, "He who communes with God is always at home." Notice there, he doesn't say he who communes with Facebook. Many of us today, we want to find peace in something else, but David's or Spurgeon says, "He who communes with God, he who finds himself at home with God, he who runs to God will find protection." So friends, are you dealing with something today? I just want to ask you that. I want you to consider your heart today. What are you struggling with? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a occupation. Maybe it's a medical condition. Maybe you're depressed today. Maybe you're discouraged today. Let me ask you, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Have you gone to God for help today? Have you sought Him in the midst of everything you're dealing with? See, many of us, again, we run to everything else but God, but here's the truth of the matter. If you're dealing with something today, the first thing you should do, the most simple thing you should do, is run to God. Run to God. Cry out to Him. We say, "Pastor Nick, how do I do that? How do I cry out to God? How do I find Him in the midst of my difficulty? How do I make sure that I go to Him before anything else?" Two things quickly. If you're taking notes, I want to challenge you to do two things in your life today, if you want to find God in the midst of your misery. Number one, I love this, you need to pray immediately. Pray immediately. Run to God first. I have a friend, a pastor friend of mine, not too long ago, I went to him about a struggle, and I said, "Man, I'm dealing with this difficulty in my life." He said, "Well, have you prayed about it?" I said, "Well, no, I'm not that spiritual." He said, "Well, you got to pray about it. He gave some good advice. He said, whenever you're dealing with something in your life, you know what you should do? You should stop then and pray. I'm the worst about when somebody comes to me, a person in my congregation, they'll come to me and they say, hey, Pastor Nick, will you pray about this for me? And you know what I do? I forget about it. Do you do that? People say, will you pray? Oh, yeah, I'll pray about it. And then you forget about it. You know what I do now? I say, let's just stop right now and pray. Have you ever considered that in your life? You just stop and pray then. You don't have to get to a certain place. You don't have to get a certain closet. You don't have to get to a certain room, a certain space in your house, in the church. You can pray anywhere. You can cry out to God where you're at. Pray immediately when you're dealing with something. Not only do you pray immediately, but you pray, number two, specifically. You pray specifically. God already knows what you're dealing with. So tell him what you're feeling. See, many of us were not specific about our prayers. I apply this in such a way to that of a grandchild with a grandbaby. I've learned this. When a grandchild asks for something, grandparents, what do? You give it to them, right? I mean, that's not even like a question. When a grandbaby asks for something, the grandparent gets it. I didn't know this. I didn't learn this until I had a grandbaby, right? So I had a child that was a grandbaby. When I ask for something, you know what I do now? I ask it through the grandbaby. They don't care what the child wants. I remember growing up with my parents, and I'd say, Mom, Dad, can I get this thing? And they say, oh, no, we don't got no money for that. Well, now I say, hey, Karis wants this thing. Oh, what does Karis want? I'll get her whatever she wants. I'm on my way to Walmart now. What does she want? I'm on Amazon. I'll order it right now. We're on our way over, right? Whatever the grandbaby wants, they get. And I've noticed, by the way, with grandparents, I've noticed that they don't care how the grandchild asks for it. Listen, it can be sloppy, it can be rude, it can be through FaceTime, a text, it can be, listen, just straight up, no context, nothing. If the grandbaby asks, the grandbaby gets it, right? I've learned that with grandparents. They don't care. They just want to hear what the grandchild wants. I remember a few years ago, I was at the mall down the road here, and we were up in the food court there, Four Seasons, and we were taking pictures with, I don't know, Santa Claus or something. I was there with the nephews and nieces, and they call Grandma BB, okay? So my mom is BB to them. She's not Grandma, she's BB, all right? BB has everything, by the way. I've learned if you need anything today, just text BB. She has you, I promise, okay? So we're in this mall here, and we're sitting in the food court there, and we're eating lunch. And I remember David, he was about 3 or 4 years old. He's one of my nephews. At this time, 3 or 4 years old, there's this gumball machine in the middle of the food court. We go to that gumball machine. He said, Uncle Nick, will you please get me this gumball? I really want it. I said, well, David, listen. I said, number one, we both know your mom doesn't let you have that kind of gum. And number two, I don't have any money. And he said, well, Uncle Nick, please, she's not watching. Mom's not watching. Will you just get it for me? I said, well, David, listen, I'd get it for you, man. I promise you this, but I don't have any money. I don't have any way to get this. He looks straight at me, and he says, well, BB has the money. Listen, BB has the money. She has everything, right? They don't care how the grandchild asks. The grandparent will get it. You know why? Because they love to hear it from their grandchild. They love to give. They love to know. They love to be there for them. Listen, friends, you know where I'm going. It's the same thing with prayer. God loves to hear from you. He don't care if it's sloppy. He don't care if it's messy. He don't care if you got problems. He don't care if you're all cleaned up. He just wants to hear from you. He wants to know what you're dealing with. He wants to hear you cry to him. It can be sloppy. It can be messy. You can be like a grandchild. You crawl up in the lap of the Lord. And you tell him what you want. You tell him what you need. You pray specifically. You get honest with God. Some of you today need to go home and you need to spend some time asking God and telling God what you need. You need to be honest with the Lord. That's exactly what David here is doing. He's saying, God, I need your help. He looks up in prayer. But notice here, verse number three, David begins to do the second thing. Not only does he look up in prayer, but he actually looks back in remembrance. He looks back in remembrance. He begins to reflect on what God is doing and what God has done in his life. You know, sometimes we forget what God is doing in the present and the future because we've forgotten what he's done in the past. Listen, if God's been faithful in 2020, and if he's been faithful in 2021, he's not going to leave you in 2022. If God's brought you through different things in your life in the past, he's not going to leave you in the future. And yet many times, you know what? We're not good historians of our own life. We forget what God has done. And so what David does is he says, I'm going to look up in prayer, but I'm also going to look back and remember what God's done for me. I'm dealing with something in my life. I'm struggling. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to look back to see how God's been faithful because I know he'll be faithful now and he'll be faithful in the future. Notice what David does. He gives us four pictures. I love this. Four pictures of what God has been to him in the past. And not only does he give these four pictures, but he begins to ask God to be those things to him now and to be those things in the future. Notice verse number three. He says, for you have been my refuge. You've been my refuge. You've been my protection. You've been there for me when no one else was. Now, God, be that for me in the future. Now, God, be that for me now. Not only does he say, be my refuge, but notice he says, Lord, you were a strong tower against the enemy. What does a tower do? It protects, right? You run to the tower in order to find protection from the enemy. It's the same thing with your spiritual life today. God is that strong tower. What does Proverbs 18:10 say? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. He is your protection. Not only does he say, God, be my refuge. Not only does he say, be my strong tower. But notice verse 4. He says, let me dwell in your tent forever. David begins to reflect on the Old Testament there. Sometimes we miss that in our English translation, but it's actually hearkening back to the days of the tabernacle when God would dwell in the midst of his people, in the nation of Israel, in the tabernacle, that transient place of worship that they would move around and God's presence would be there. And he says, God, you've been in the midst of me. In other words, you have tabernacled, you have lived, you have had your presence among me in the past. Now, God, I'm reflecting on that. Now, be that with me now. Be in the midst of me. Be in my presence. Let me dwell in your tent forever. And by the way, friends, I want you to see this. Not only does David receive God's presence then, but we can also receive the same thing. Have you considered John chapter 1, where John tells us that the Son was the one who came and dwelt or tabernacled. He lived among us. And friends, we have the same type of power, the same type of protection. And yet many of us want to run to everything else. We want to find protection in something else other than the Lord. We want to find escape from our problems, not in the power of God, but in the things of this world. Listen, if you're ever going to get real with God, if you're ever going to find God's protection in the midst of everything going on in your life, it's not going to be found in this world. It's not going to be found in your friends. It's not going to be found in social media. It's not going to be found in the government. It's going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and his power for you. So David runs and finds protection there, the dwelling in the midst of God. Not only does he say, you've been my refuge, you've been my strong tower, you've been my dwelling place, but notice the end of verse 4, he says, let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. The picture there is that of a mother bird who spreads her wings and protects her children. I don't know about you, but I've never found a safer place than the arms of my mother. There is something about a mother's protection that is so much different than anything in this life. A mom will do anything for their child. I've watched it now with my wife. It's the same thing with the Lord. God will do anything to protect his children. He is that of the wings of a mother bird, protecting his children. And David says, God, you've been that protection. Now be that protection in the future. So David begins to look back in remembrance to find help now. And listen, friends, it's the same thing with your life today. Many of us need to spend some time today. Some of you sitting in this room might need to go home, take out a sheet of paper, and write down in 5 minutes every way God's protected you in the past. I did that this week. I started reflecting on all of the things that God had done for me. How God had protected me, how God had taken care of me, how God had brought me through things. And you know what happens as you begin to reflect on what God has done in your life? You know what happens? You begin to worship. You begin to praise the Lord for His work in your life. It doesn't take long to write a list out of what God's done for you. Have you thought about that before? Some of you need to go home today and reflect on God's power and protection in your life. And I do that many times. I remember just a few weeks ago, my wife and I went down to the abortion clinic here in Greensboro. By the way, the abortion clinic in Greensboro off of Random One Road, it's existed for 30 years now. It's been estimated that 50,000 children have been killed on the altar of convenience right here in our area. I remember we went down just a few weeks ago with about 200 other Christians. We were sitting there praying that God would end abortion, not only in our city, not only in our state, our nation, but across the world. Just sitting there praying. We weren't doing anything. I remember watching these volunteers for the abortion clinic. There were actually volunteers out there who volunteered their time to protect, and I use air quotes there, to protect the women and the boyfriends or husbands that were coming in with them to make sure they safely made it into the abortion clinic. Actually, one of them, by the way, is a pastor here in our area, so-called pastor, that takes his Saturdays and volunteers to make sure these people are protected from so-called or quote-unquote Christian crazies who sit out there and pray that they wouldn't end life. And I remember watching these volunteers as they would scoff at us, literally make fun of us, as we were praying for them. We were out there worshiping and they were criticizing. We were out there begging these women to not end the life of their children, and yet they were out there making fun of us. And I remember sitting there saying, God, how long? How long are you going to let this type of depravity go on? And it's not only that, but it's other things in our life that we look at and we say, God, how long are you going to allow these things to take place? How long are you going to let the problems in our world go on? How long are you going to let depravity, sinfulness go on? We're going to reflect on that. And God, in His way only He would, began to draw me back to Psalm 61. And He doesn't say, Nick, you got to go figure that out. He doesn't say, Nick, I'm going to give you a timetable. What does He say? He says, come to me. Cry out to me. And He says, remember what I've done. If I've taken care of these things in the past, I'll take care of what's going on in the future. And I don't always understand that. By the way, you're not going to understand everything God does in your life. If you did, you wouldn't need God. You're not always going to understand how God is moving you in the game of life. It's almost like a game of chess, by the way. I'm not a good chess player. I don't have the patience nor the skill to play chess. But as you look at the game of chess, you move these pieces around, and sometimes your life is like that. God is moving you around and bringing things, taking things out of your life, and you sit there and say, God, why are you doing that? God, what are you doing in my life? Listen, you're not going to have all the answers, but what you do have is what God has given us in Psalm 61, and He says, I'm not going to give you all the answers, but what I'm going to ask you to do is to reflect and remember what I've done for you in the past. And if I've taken care of you then, I'll take care of you now. Just trust me. Just trust me. So friends, can you trust God today? Can you trust God today to move in your life? Notice David says, not only does he look up in prayer, not only does he look back in remembrance, but number three, he looks forward in worship. He looks forward in worship. David comes to the end of this psalm. He begins in lamentation. Remember, he begins in a place of despair, but then he ends in a place of celebration. Notice verse number 8. He cries out to God. He gets to verse number 8, and he says this, so will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. We want God to work on our timetable, by the way. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just open up our calendars on our phones or open up our calendar books and say, God, I'd like you to move on December 18th. Wouldn't that be nice? God, I want you to bring this about in my life. God doesn't work that way, does he? God doesn't work according to our timetable. It'd be nice in my fleshly, finite mind to see God work the way I want him to work. God doesn't do that. God works according to his timetable. And by the way, God is perfect. God is not going to make a mistake in your life. He's not made a mistake with the things you've been through. God can use those things. Romans chapter 8, what does he? Use it for your good. He uses it for your good. I don't know about you. I don't know anybody else in this life who can take sin, take past mistakes, and use them for good. And yet God does that in your life. But God doesn't work on your timetable. He works on his. So what does he do, though, in the midst of that? What does he ask us to do in the midst of that? He asks us to wait. He asks us to wait. Psalm chapter 37, one of my favorite psalms. David gets to the end of that psalm, and he says, I will wait on the Lord. And then he says, not only will I wait on the Lord, I will worship. I will worship. Friends, are you waiting on God today? Are you waiting on God to move in your life today? If you're waiting on him, the Bible says you are to worship. You're to worship. Notice David does that in his life. And by the way, he does it day by day. He doesn't just perform his vows on Sunday morning. He doesn't just come to Central Baptist on Sunday morning and worship then, and the rest of the week is whatever he wants to do. What does David do? He worships day by day. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about a continual worship. Continually, day by day, every day, God, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to worship you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're moving. I don't know where you're going. But I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship while I wait. I'm going to look forward in worship. And friends, it's the same thing with you. Some of you are waiting on God to move in your life. So you know what you do? You worship. You begin to sing praises to God. Some of you today need to go home and spend some time reflecting on what God's done in your life, but then draw you to a place where you worship. Where you can really say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And then see what God does. I'll end with this story. Not too long ago, there was a little girl by the name of Erin Browning. I love this story. Erin Browning was about 7 or 8 years old. She was diagnosed with a cancer that was in no way, shape, or form able to be healed. They knew this little girl at 7 or 8 years old was not going to live much past 10 or 11. As she progressed through this cancer, she got to about 10 years old, and she was sitting in her hospice bed, unable to open her eyes, unable to really talk because of the pain, but she mumbled something under her breath to her mother sitting there in the room. She said, Mom, would you open up your Bible and read it to me? In fact, they would tell stories about little Erin at 7, 8, 9 years old. She'd sit in her hospital bed, and she'd witness to the nurses and the doctors. She would sit in her hospital bed at 8, 9, 10 years old and worship the Lord in the midst of her pain. And so she came to about 10 years old. She's sitting there, probably just a few more days she had to live, and she asked her mom to read the Bible to her. And so her mom took out for hours, took out her Bible, and she actually would sit there and read psalm after psalm after psalm to this little girl laying in her bed. In fact, she trusted God's word so much that the mom actually took the Bible and she set it at her feet. And when she set it at her feet, she'd stand over God's word and read it to her daughter in a way to say, God, I trust your word no matter what you're doing in my life. These parents had no idea what God was doing with little Erin Browning. It was a couple days past, her prognosis got worse. And her story, though, got out to people. In fact, it came to a contemporary Christian group by the name of Casting Crowns. Anybody ever heard of Casting Crowns in here? Casting Crowns got a hold of little Aaron's story. And they were so moved with compassion. They were so moved with little Aaron's story that they actually wrote a song about her. The song is entitled, "I'll Praise You in This Storm." It's a beautiful song. In fact, if you've never listened to it, I encourage you to go find it today on the internet somewhere. I'll read you a couple lines, though. I love this in regards to Aaron's story. Here's how the song goes, just a few lines. It says, "I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands that you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm." As the story goes, little Aaron began to progress worse and worse with this cancer. And on November 1st, 2004, little Aaron Browning went home to be with the Lord. Now you may be sitting there saying, why would God do that to a little girl? What has this little girl done to cause God to bring this suffering in her life, to bring her to a point that she only lives 10 years? Why would God do this to a family? And better yet, why would God do this to a Christian family? I can only imagine what the parents were thinking. If that was me, and probably like you, I'd begin to doubt God. I'd begin to question what God is doing in my life. And yet, as the story goes, the family, when Aaron passed away, sat around her bed and began to worship. They began to sing praises to God. In the middle of their misery, God began to move in their life. In fact, I don't have all the answers. I don't know why God did that to little Aaron. I don't know why God brought that in their midst. But what I do know is that God began to use Aaron's story. In fact, thousands and thousands of people have now been impacted by little Aaron Browning's testimony through that song. In fact, there are thousands of people who know Jesus Christ today because of the way Aaron lived her life. And again, I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is the person who does. And his name is Jesus. And that's exactly what little Aaron found in the midst of her suffering. She began to worship, her family began to worship, and God began to move. God began to move. Friends, listen, I don't have all the answers to your pain. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life today. I don't know what is going on in the midst of your suffering. But what I do know is that regardless of where you're at, God has called you to wait on Him and has called you to worship. He's called you to sit back and trust His work in your life. And I promise you, when you do that, God has guaranteed, God has promised through His word that He will work in your life. But you got to come to a place where you trust Him. You got to come to a place where you say, God, regardless of what you're doing, I trust you and I will worship you. I'll worship you. So friends, if you're struggling today, if you're dealing with something in your life, if you feel like you're done, here's what you're to do. Three directions. Look up in prayer, look back in remembrance, and look forward in worship. And I promise you, as you do that, God will work in your life. Let's pray together this morning. As the musicians come, I want to encourage your heart today. I'm going to be up front here with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to just give a few words of encouragement, but also challenge you today. If you're dealing with something, I'll be up front. I'll pray with you. The altar's open for you as well if you are dealing with God. If you don't know Christ, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, we'll also be up front to lead you there, that you can find His protection, His healing from whatever you're going through in your life. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the time that you've given us in your word. Lord, we pray as you begin to move in hearts that, Lord, your power will be made known and your presence will be real to those who are dealing with things in their life. And so, God, we ask as you begin to move that your word will be true to them and your power be known to them. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of David, to know that in the midst of things going on in our life, when we feel like we're done, there are things that we can do. And so, God, we pray for that protection. We ask this now in your Son's name. Amen.
As we sing, 315, Room at the Cross.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Ask our ushers, if you will, please come forward. Thank you, Nick. Thank you for the message. I think each one of us have been at that place where there's nowhere to turn but to the Lord, and we realize we should have done that a long time ago. Let me lead you as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of knowing that you are there. You're always there. You always know what's going on in our life. Nothing ever catches you by surprise. And you're always willing to meet our needs and minister to us because of your great love and mercy. Lord, as we take this offering today, we pray that you will bless the gift and bless each giver. And Father, we pray that you will use these gifts that others might come to know Jesus and know him as Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Didn't hold a house, no crib, no toys were waiting. Still they had their love for the child they were anticipating. He was born one winter night on a road between two towns. They wrapped him up so warm and tight and said, "It looks like heaven's come down." There was a new star shining in the sky up above. By its light that winter night, they found peace, perfect peace and love. If we want to find it, I know we always will, for that new star is shining for us still. How to feed him, simple trade was all he knew. It's hard enough to make ends meet when they were only two. But the cold, the dark, and the hunger couldn't take away their joy. and she knew that they would find a way for their precious baby boy. There was a new star shining in the sky up above. By its light that winter night, they found perfect peace and love. If we want to find it, I know we always will. For that new star is shining for us still. And if we want to find it, I know we always will. For that new star is shining for us still.
Well, we miss our pastor, but we have enjoyed being in the house of God today with Nick sharing with us, and it's been a great blessing having Doug with us today. I'm going to ask Nick and his wife and Doug, too, just you guys just kind of hang around down front here a little bit after we're through so people can come and speak to you. Today, I'll do what Roy does. We'll remind you of some birthdays. We've got two birthdays coming up this week. Steve Kelly on Thursday, December the 8th, and then Emily Wright on Saturday, December the 10th. And then an anniversary. Lonnie and Judy Raines have an anniversary coming up, December the 6th. You're not going to tell us which one it is, are you? 53. How about that? Amen. All right. Our schedule this evening is the same as always. Choir at 5, Bible study in here at 6, 5:30 Awana, and then after Bible study tonight, wind ensemble practices. So get involved in what's going on today, and then during the week, Wednesday, we normally promote this every week. We normally have our men's fellowship breakfast at the Olympic Restaurant over in Colfax on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. But this week, we want you to come here to the church, guys. We're not going to have breakfast over there unless you want to go eat breakfast and then come over here and eat lunch at 12. But some folks have already suggested that we do that. But anyway, we're having lunch here for senior adults. Now, had a little controversy about that this morning. Somebody said, I'm not old enough to be a senior adult. Here, it's 50, okay? It's not 65, it's not 75, it's not 80, it's 50, okay? You're qualified to come and eat. It's free. You don't have to bring anything, okay? You just come and eat and fellowship. If you have already signed up, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. If you've already signed up, thank you. If you haven't, please do that today because we need to plan on how much food to buy early in the week. Now, we have some people that are out because of testing positive for COVID. So let me say this in relationship to Wednesday. If you think you've been exposed to COVID, if you feel like you've been exposed, if you would do this, we'd appreciate you go get a test. You can go to the drugstore and take a COVID test. If you test positive, please stay at home. Call us and let us know you're not coming. But otherwise, we're going to have it Wednesday, and we want you to come. So hopefully everybody will be safe and clear from COVID, and you'll be able to be here and enjoy the fellowship meal with us. This is kind of our December holiday senior adult luncheon. Now, I didn't mention it earlier, but we start today. Today is we're promoting our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That offering goes to international missions. You can give it any Sunday during December. We will do a formal collection of it on Easter. Not Easter, but Christmas Day. Excuse me. I keep thinking Easter Sunday, but it's not. It's Christmas Sunday this year. Christmas Sunday morning will be the formal collection of it, but you can give it anytime between now and then. We have to close it out by the end of January, so please be praying about your gift to international missions. All this money goes directly to the missionaries on the field. None of it's used for administration. It helps our missionaries all over the world to share the love of Jesus. Now, relationship to that, the Lottie Moon Post Office is up. It's across from the kitchen and the other building. You can bring your Christmas cards here without postage on them for people here in the church. Don't do it to your relatives in Florida or whatever, but for folks here, bring them, put them back there. You look through, make sure under the alphabetical boxes that you don't have some here. Do us a favor. There's some information in the bulletin about this today, but if you know somebody has not been to church here in 2 or 3 years, you might want to mail theirs to them. Don't bring it here, okay? But we don't deliver them, okay? We're not Santa Claus. You have to go over there and pick yours out and take yours over there. But use that, because it was started years ago when people would say, if you save the postage, give that to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, what you would spend normally in postage. That might not be enough for you to give in your Lottie Moon offering. But anyway, we hope you'll use that. The meal is 12 o'clock in the gym Wednesday. We will start right at 12 o'clock. Okay, there's a building and grounds meeting that's going to be Wednesday of this week at 6:30. Between 6 and 6:30, if you can get here by 6:30. It's a very important meeting. A lot of things need to be done this week. There's not an opportunity to promote, to prolong that meeting or to have it later. We'll be meeting December the 18th in our church to vote on some issues. One is the contract with Awakening Church. One is a facility use form, a new one that we've redesigned, and Building and Grounds needs to approve that before the 18th. But then on Sunday night, the 18th, in our regular business meeting, we'll be voting on those two things. So you got a 2-week notice that we'll be voting on those two issues at our regular Sunday night business meeting. Well, it's going to be Sunday morning now, isn't it? We do Sunday mornings. That's right. We've just changed. Also, that day we'll be voting on the 2023 budget. So put that on your calendar. You want to be here and plan on coming and being a part of that, helping make the decisions. Now, on December the 18th, we're going to have a Sunday night music service, our Christmas music service. Following that will be a fellowship in the fellowship hall. Provided you bring us some food to fellowship with. We'll just stand around and talk if you don't. But we want you to bring some snacks, and if you have any questions about that, see Sandy Stewart. She's the coordinator for our fellowship meal, so talk to her, see what you need to bring. I think I've covered everything. I've scribbled notes down here that people have asked me to do today, so hopefully I've gotten everything covered. Continue to pray for our pastor. Again, I don't know if you've been sick and had so many people that loved you that you stayed on the phone all the time and never got to sleep when you were home or in the hospital. Don't do that, okay? Send him a card. It's okay to send him a text or to give him a call, but he's going to need some rest when he gets home too, so respect that. And don't call 2 or 3 times a day. Say, you still okay? we're glad you came today. Remind you, come by and speak to Doug and Nick and his wife. Thank you for coming, brother. Thank you so much for coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had of being in your house today. God, for the opportunity that we have to worship you in a free America where there's no fear of reprisal. God, we love you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Father, we pray that during this Christmas season that you will help us to be a witness about what Christmas is really about. So, Lord, as we go our separate ways today, help us to be a witness. Help us to share the love of Jesus with those we come in contact with. Bring us back tonight to study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.